So welcome everyone. Are there any English-speaking people in the audience? So there's a few, so we'll do it in English. My name is Bas Peters. I'm a solutions engineer within GitHub. So basically, solutions engineers, they try to help people to be successful with GitHub, you could say. I'm going to talk a little bit about how GitHub integrates within the Microsoft environment, so how we help Microsoft developers, focusing on basically your continuous delivery, but more maybe around continuous improvement, so continuously improve your software using the GitHub platform. Together with Mike, we all use Visual Studio, the Visual Studio extension for GitHub, and we will deploy code to Azure. I'll use a different tool for CI, but I just had some conversations with people that today you can use, for example, also Visual Studio Team Services, just as a build server if you want to. So before I go into that, so who's familiar with GitHub? So I think most people are familiar with GitHub. So who's using GitHub on a regular basis? Okay. That's great. So yeah, so GitHub is a platform allowing people to collaborate, so to develop software in a collaborative way. I think GitHub is mostly known for its open source projects, but it's also used a lot for private repositories by individuals and organizations to develop software that is not open source. And we also ship GitHub as an appliance, a virtual appliance that you can run on your own infrastructure or on Azure, for example, for those organizations that want to, you know, develop software behind the firewall, so they do not want to share their code in the cloud. So I think most of you will be familiar with Git. So who is familiar with Git as a version control system? So a lot of you are familiar with Git. So GitHub is built on top of Git. And I think, you know, there's a few things that are, you know, interesting about Git compared to other version control systems like Subversion, for example. So Git is a distributed version control system. So it means that everyone has like a full copy of the repository on their local machine. So it includes all the branches you're working on, but also the full history of all the commits of a project. I think that's a huge difference between, for example, Subversion, where you would have like a working copy on your client and the truth is on a central server. And Git was designed to make like branching and merging easy. So most people think, well, branching and merging is not easy, it's never going to be easy. It's a hard thing to do. But Git as a repo was fully designed. So, you know, for example, rather than storing full deltas of code changes, it creates like snapshots. So it's very lightweight, the way kind of the indexes and repository are implemented. So, and then in most cases, organizations will use like a central kind of Git server that serves as the truth for an organization or for a project, for example. So in this case, that will be on GitHub. So if you like compare Git and GitHub, then you could say, so GitHub is for collaboration, so allowing people to work together, where Git is like the version control system that sits below it. So GitHub has quite a few features. So for example, there's issues, you can work with projects, the GitHub flow, so we will talk more about GitHub flow, which is the workflow to develop software. You can basically use organizations and teams, so you can organize your teams on GitHub. And we provide a lot of integration. So we will use in the demo here Visual Studio, like I said. I'll use AppVeyor here for continuous integration. And I think I also run Travis CI just for a cross-platform. So it's a .NET Core project that runs like, you know, it runs CI on like a Windows platform and it runs CI on like a Linux platform. And I'll use Azure for deploys. Pretty basic, but before we get to that, so if we look at GitHub.com as a platform, and even if you use GitHub within your organization, it's not about just like, you know, making code changes. I mean, GitHub is really also about like discovering projects. So a lot of people, you know, they do searches on GitHub to find projects to their interest. Or maybe you're looking for some utility, some library, some piece of software that you could use. So a lot of people also discover projects on GitHub. and hopefully even at some time start contributing to those projects. So, for example, Microsoft hosts all their open source software on GitHub. And that's a lot of projects. Currently, Microsoft has the largest number of contributors on GitHub. So it's like the number one organization on GitHub, which is, I think it's a great development that has been like something from recent years. But it's amazing the work that Microsoft is doing on GitHub in open source. Take .NET Core, for example, but also Azure Tooling, Visual Studio Code. There's plenty of examples. So, for example, if you look at C Sharp, that has almost doubled its growth in the last year. And also, for example, TypeScript is really emerging. It has like a 250% growth, so similar to Swift, Apple's new language. And this is quite new technology, so it has a rapid growth on GitHub. If you look at Visual Studio Code, for example, that is it's one of the top 10 projects currently on GitHub. So it's like, I think, number six, the sixth popular individual open source project. So it's lots of people contributing. I have the exact number here in my notes. It's so it's close to 6,000 people contributing on that project only. Are there any users of Visual Studio Code? Anyone using it? A few people, yeah. So most of you live in... who's using Visual Studio on a day-to-day basis? Okay, yeah. So the importance of open source, I think I love this example. It's from Illyriad, and it's a game company. I think they're based in Scotland. And they have this game. It's like a space opera, so it's Age of Ascent. And it's a browser game where you can, you know, everyone lives, I mean, you know, everyone can go into like a big universe and, you know, start like, you know, start fights, you know, start conquering each other. Or I haven't played it myself, but it's a large game because potentially everyone can go into it and you know, start playing, you know, concurrently. So they had huge demands regarding the Microsoft platform. They use .NET Core for development. So they started making a lot of contributions to the Kestrel HTTP, lightweight HTTP server. So this was like to celebrate 1.15 million requests per second. So they managed to help Microsoft to build a performance increase of 2,300% on the platform, mainly by contributing to the Kestrel platform, the server. And I think this is a great example. I mean, apparently their use case was slightly different than what Microsoft was focusing on. So that can make a huge difference in the performance of a platform. And I think it's a great example of the power of open source and what open source can bring. It can really help organizations to, you know, to make better code. But Microsoft is also doing other stuff on GitHub. For example, their documentation. I think this looks nice. It's, you know, it's searchable. It's, you know, there's a nice table of content. So all the .NET Core documentation is on GitHub, for example. So Microsoft also uses GitHub as a platform for documentation. And the nice thing is, if you read through this stuff, you use it, and you find something. So for example, I know there is no paragraph describing how to use Travis CI for .NET Core, so you can contribute that. I mean, it describes how to do it with AppThayer, not for Travis. So anyone can contribute to this project. You can open a pull request and contribute changes to this document. So even writing documentation and improving documentation becomes like a collaborative effort. So I mentioned pull requests, so as a way of contributing. So I want to talk a little bit before I dive into the demo about GitHub Flow and pull requests, because this is like the heart of GitHub, you could say. This is how people collaborate on GitHub. So basically the steps are that on GitHub you work branch-based. So basically when you have to do a bug fix or you're implementing a new feature, what you're doing is first creating a branch. And then you will work, you create the new feature or you do the bug fix on that branch. And so you do that most of the time just locally. You create the branch, start making code changes, and then at some point in time, you just want some feedback from your peers. And at that time, you open what is called a pull request. So I'll show you later during the demo screencasts. And the pull request, basically, that is where the conversation happens with your peers. In open source, it could be like anyone. In private projects, it's mostly like it starts with your core team, but it can also be like anyone within the organization that has access to the repository. Because maybe you need some database expertise, so you can basically bring in someone into the conversation using so-called admensions that has this expertise. But if you start working this way, it also happens automatically. So organizations start working in a different manner. So culturally, it grows that people start helping each other more. Because you're always interested as a developer, I hope, you're always interested in solving issues, especially the hard things. You would love to help with that. And then once code changes are approved, you merge your changes back into the master branch. And the master branch is basically the truth, is your production-ready code. So why this branching? I mean, branching is hard. So there's a few things that are important. I think I heard this morning already, had some conversations with people that committed to master a lot of times and then breaking master, and it's hard, for example, to do an experiment. One of the nice things of using a branch-based flow is that you can freely experiment. So maybe you want to test out some library that might save you a lot of coding time in the near future. So you can just create a branch, start experimenting without blocking any other progress. You're not breaking the master by making any commits, because the commits you will make on the branch. So it allows you to freely experiment with the project. And if the experiment fails, you just, you know, you delete the branch, you close the pull request, and nothing happened. You invested some time. I mean, you learned from it. You can also keep the branch maybe for later usage. Or, for example, if you're working on some cool new feature and some critical bug comes in, you can easily, you know, you can create another branch to just do the bug fix and merge that into master and then continue your work on the feature. So in parallel, in isolation, you can work on multiple things and your peers can work on multiple things rather than, having the risk of blocking each other's progress. And the great thing about a pull request is that that's where collaboration happens, that's where people kind of work together, so where anyone can contribute to the code changes. So what is really important when you use GitHub is like what we call like the pull request feedback loop. So it's very important that you always need to be aware that if you make code changes and you open a pull request, so you request, you know, other people to invest time in it, you need to realize this. So it's always very important that when you create a pull request that you provide sufficient context. So what is the purpose of the code change, for example? but also what kind of feedback? I mean, if you're starting an experiment, doing some work in progress, you do not want your peers to go into the code and do like a code review line by line. You just want them to be part of a discussion about, hey, does this make sense? What is the best solution for this problem I'm trying to solve? So you request a different kind of feedback than when you're basically, you know, you have made code changes that are pretty mature already and you just want someone to look at your code to approve it in order to merge. So it's a different type of feedback. And if people take the time to look into your code and provide feedback, make sure if you do not understand anything, you know, to basically respond to that feedback is a matter of, if things are unclear, just ask, but give some feedback to the person who gave the original feedback, who did the code review. So make sure that you keep the conversation going. Because if I review your work and you never respond with anything, I think, well, I don't know what he does with my review work, but I mean, I think it's time wasted. So next time I will spend less time on doing the code review. So communication here is really important. Then what's really important, of course, is automation, continuous integration. So in general, when you create a pull request on GitHub and you push changes to GitHub, CI kicks off. And CI will run all the tests. Hopefully you will have sufficient test coverage. And it will run the tests. It will run it against your branch. But maybe more importantly, it will also merge in master into that branch to make sure that if you want to merge your code to master, that you know that you're not breaking master. I think that is really key. I always receive a lot of questions from people that favor like the commit to master approach. Are there people here that love, you know, breaking things as fast as possible? People that love, I mean, there's a whole like school of people that believe in, you know, break things fast because you have to fix them fast. otherwise, you're not doing continuous integration. But on every push, if you make sure that you merge in master into your branch, you're doing continuous integration, because multiple times a day you do an integration test, your build. And at the same time, you're working in isolation on your branch, so you're not breaking each other's code, so people can always kind of make progress. And one thing I personally like within GitHub is that continuous integration, irrespective of what kind of CI tooling you're using, it's always kind of seamlessly integrated into the pull request. So it uses the status API. So all vendors, including Microsoft Team Services, they implement this status API, providing feedback into your pull request whether you pass or break the build. Then if you want to do more complex stuff, there's always PowerShell that you can use. So you can automate a lot of things. So GitHub provides RESTful APIs that allow you to do practically anything. So you can just basically also use scripting. So in my example here that I will use, so I use OpenCover to do coverage testing. And then that's just like a command line tool. So it does not have like an out-of-the-box integration with GitHub like maybe Coveralls does. So I just had to script a little bit in a PowerShell to run the commands and to produce the report, and then to, you know, to kick off a status back into the pull request, you know, giving some response like whether I meet the coverage requirement of 90% or not. So one last thing I wanted to mention around continuous integration. I think this is from the Apple Swift project, and this is, I like this example because it shows the importance of continuous integration. So Apple Swift initially, so they open source Swift on GitHub, and only Apple employees were allowed to merge code to master. So like the committers, as they say in open source. And then end of February, there was this post and they said, you know, now that the Swift continuous integration system is established and proven, so now that it basically ensures us that the code will be of a certain quality simply by running CI, so by automated testing, we open up our projects for other people to become committers, so to allow them to merge to master, so non-Apple employees. And you can sign up, it says there, if you have like five non-trivial pull requests that are accepted by Apple, you can basically, you know, you can request becoming a committer on the project. And I love this example because it shows the importance of continuous integration. A project can basically trust, you know, that at some level it reaches, you know, it reaches some certain quality standards in order to guard the project, the quality of the code. So on GitHub, there is also some project support, although it's very lightweight. Most people that develop software on GitHub, they develop small features. It's continuously going on. So the project is not something that with a start and an end. It's very agile the way people work. So it's they just pick up an issue, start implementing it, they merge it, and go on with the next one. So there's a very high pace in software development, and it's very much a continuous process. So before any code is written on GitHub, people use issues to, you know, to share ideas, but also to create a backlog of all sorts of features that need to be implemented or bugs that need to be fixed. And you can put issues on like a milestone in order to create sprints. So it's very lightweight. There's not much, I mean, most teams on GitHub, so even within organizations, they do not have like project managers or something. They might use like a Scrum-based approach. They will have, in most cases, like a product owner. But as the software is continuously improving, it's more like the teams themselves, together with the product owner, are kind of responsible for building out the product. And the product owner is kind of the person that kind of, you know, that hooks up, that aligns with the business to make sure that we reach certain, you know, company goals. But more and more organizations, they, you know, issues are kind of tied to a repository. So we recently introduced projects allowing you to provide better visibility over the backlog of issues and also the progress that the team is making. So I think this is a huge improvement, providing a bit more project management kind of capabilities on GitHub. The current release, I think we released this during Universe a couple of weeks ago. This is currently tied to a repo, but as a staff member, I already have access to like an early release of this, where you can have projects on an organization level. So more and more, I don't know, is any of you using like microservices within the organization? You have a lot of projects. So more and more organizations have like, you know, they built their software now as loosely coupled services. So you have a lot of repositories. So, you know, this makes it easier than on an org level, on an organization level, to manage multiple repositories as one project. Something, yeah. So the question is, does it also give capabilities of estimation so that you can do planning? It is something we're discussing, but it's not something that we've implemented right now. So what I want to do is just go through, I just recorded like a demo, so in small steps. So I just want to guide you through a process of developing a feature using Visual Studio, using GitHub, using continuous integration, and then deploying to Azure. And I'll talk about these steps from like, you know, development step by development step. So this is a demo we use a lot for them for like demos to prospects. It's a very basic kind of list of staff favorite titles, so books. Very simple Bootstrap with a .NET Core application, web application. And the step I haven't included here, but if you're new to that project, of course, the first step will be to kind of clone the project from GitHub. So it lives on GitHub and you need to clone it. It can be either, you know, a private project for your organization or a public project. And there's many ways to clone a project. It's something we will do. We have a couple of workshops planned. I will talk a little bit more that at the end of the presentation, where we'll do this actually, you know, hands-on. But there's many ways you can go to the GitHub repo, and if you have Visual Studio installed, it will already kind of, you know, allow you to just clone open in Visual Studio. So the only thing you need to do is click open in Visual Studio, and it will basically show you the Team Explorer, and you can just like clone from there, and you have the project in your Visual Studio application. And then the next step is if you want to implement a feature. So what we're going to do here is like implement a rating feature. So I had this, I have the initial issue here. So, you know, a lot of the users, they want to see how other customers like, you know, staff favorites is nice, but how do other customers like the book? So the rating feature is what we're going to implement. And the first step is like creating a branch. So as I said, creating a branch allows you to develop that feature in isolation, so without the risk of breaking master, breaking production code, where at the same time you can also collaborate on a branch. So once the branch is created, you start making commits. So a commit, I think you're all familiar with a commit, is like an atomic change, and ideally you could say that all the commits that you make on your project, they kind of build like, they tell like the history of your project. So it's always important, even in your commit messages, for example, to provide some context. So the commits that are done here is just locally. So currently I'm still working locally. When you commit using Git, you make initially like a local commit. So they are not yet shared with the other users. To do that, you need to publish. So the next step, when you're happy with changes and you want to share them with your other developers, you need to publish the branch. And with publishing the branch, you will also kind of publish those commits to the server. So what this step does from within Visual Studio is it will create a new branch, or the branch will be created remotely on GitHub, and also the commits will be published. By doing that, the branch will be available on the server, but I haven't kind of invited my peers yet to start collaborating with me on that feature. And also, I'm not kicking off CI yet. So what I'm going to do next is open a pull request. And this is something I think we introduced this quite recently in the Visual Studio integration. So the integration is developed quite actively. I think we have now around 100,000 users, daily users of the Visual Studio extension for GitHub. We're currently at, I think, a 2.0 release, but we're already working on new features for the integration. One thing we're working on is making it more easy even to kind of clone projects, so you can do that right from the start page of Visual Studio. So what we're doing here is opening a pull request. And with the pull request, we provide some context. So we give it a title that clearly, you know, provide some context, what the feature is about, and we provide, in this case, some steps of the changes we've made. And ideally, you also provide some information about the kind of feedback you request. And then once you created the pull request, we go. So far, everything was just done from within Visual Studio. Although the most of this work can also be done on GitHub. You can go into the GitHub UI, create a new branch. Of course, changes you might want to do locally, but there's even an editor. So you can even make code changes if you want on the GitHub side if you want. and then you can also create a pull request from within GitHub. But you can also do a lot of this stuff in Visual Studio. And then you go into the pull request. So this is really where collaboration happens, and also where CI is kicked off, and where CI kind of provides feedback to you as a developer or to the whole team around whether you pass the build or not. So you can see here that so the branch itself passes CI, so everything is fine. And also when I merge in master into the branch, it works fine. So that's all fine. The only thing I'm not that's not passing is the coverage. So I do not have sufficient code coverage. So that is something I might want to improve upon. And that is also something that Jackie notices. So this is a coworker. So he's diving into the code a little bit to see, you know, where the code can be improved, especially around the coverage. So he provides a comment to back to Bas, the original developer, saying, "Hey, you might want to add some unit tests for this." So this is just a very basic example of code review, but currently we are investing a lot in improving code review. So one of the things we recently shipped is like the review capability. So you can do an actual review, like a step in a workflow. So you can start a review, go through the whole code, so different files, add comments, line comments, and then in the end you can basically ship those comments as in one go. And that provides, in a way, cleaner feedback to the developers in order to make improvements to the code. And you can also provide like a status. So you can say, this is just a comment, there are code changes needed, or you can approve the pull request so that it can be merged into the master. So those are some of the things. One other thing is we added replies on comments, so you can quickly reply on a comment within the comment. So it's all kind of to make it less cluttered, the feedback, so it will be more in one place rather than scattered all over the pull request. So this triggers Bas, of course, to start implementing more unit tests. I mean, we do not pass the coverage test, and you know, Jackie, the other developer, provided some feedback, so we implement some tests, and then we have already the branch on the GitHub environment, so what we do now is just, you know, we go to our changes, we provide a comment for the commit, and we do then a commit and publish to commit our changes locally, but at the same time publish those changes back into the GitHub. And that will kick off CI again. So whenever you push to the server, the continuous integration server will run. And this time we can see that it passes. So we have a 95% coverage. Yoo-hoo! And then Jackie also comments. He says, "Hey, it's up to 95. Bo, you know, good work. And let's ship this." So that allows us to merge the changes into master. So most of the time, it's very simple to do. It's a matter of confirm merge. In some cases, you might run into a merge conflict. What we currently do, maybe in the future, we might add better support through the UI to help you to resolve merge conflicts. Currently, what we do is we provide context. So we help you with the steps that you can execute within the editor in order to resolve merge conflicts. So with Git, merge conflicts can occur when different people basically make changes to the same code line within a file. So then a merge conflict can arise. If you build small features, so if you have a high pace of development of, you know, creating branches and merging branches, It will not often happen that you have run into merge conflicts, but sometimes it might happen. But most organizations that are struggling with merge conflicts, they have branches open way too long. So they keep branches open for weeks and weeks, or sometimes even months. And of course, then merge conflict will occur because there will be a lot of code being written on those branches and other branches. So when you merge in this configuration, some things will happen. So we're in the workflow at this stage now. So, you know, Jackie just said, hey, approve the code, ready to ship. And you can do a more formalized workflow if you want to. But on the merge, what we will do is basically we will then publish our changes to the Azure environment where our web application runs. So this is done. This is a very basic deployment. I think there's a lot of talks at the conference that talk about more, you know, more complex workflows to deploy to Azure. So what I'm doing here is very basically using Kudu. So Azure provides like Git support. So you can configure in Azure as a source of your code. So you create a web application, and as a source, you can say, I have a local Git as a source. It sounds a bit strange because we already have a Git repository on GitHub, so why shall we have like another Git repo? But see it as like Git being distributed in nature, right? It's just another place where the code can live. And that's the place where we tell Azure, in that case, to fetch the code from GitHub and deploy that code in Azure in the web application. And to do so, if you basically set it in the deployment options, a local Git as a repo, it allows you, you can go to properties and you can then get a deployment trigger URL. And that URL you can use to set as the payload in a webhook on GitHub. So webhooks are basically kind of push notifications, you could say. So it pushes information around events on GitHub to some external environment. So in this case, Azure. So we tell Azure, hey, we merged the pull request. So we, you know, and so please do a new, it will trigger Azure to do a new deploy. So you will then see in your deployment, you can see then hopefully, you know, this checkbox that you have done a successful deployment on GitHub. If you're using a private repository, there is another step you need to take. So from the Kudu environment, which is the Git environment that Azure uses, so it's like a separate web application providing Git access, there you can also obtain a key, a public key. So if you have a private repository, you need to obtain the public key. It's described in the Kudu website at the topic automatic deployments. and that key you can set as a deploy key on GitHub, allowing a secure SSH connection, so giving permissions to Azure to fetch the code from a private repository on GitHub. So, and then if the deploy is successful, so we see that green checkbox, we will see our new feature. So we now have the rating feature on the staff favorites list, so we can now see how our customers rate the books that we recommend as staff. So there's one last topic I wanted to talk a little bit about is how we deploy software at GitHub, because you know, now what we do is basically merge changes into master, and that kicks off a deploy. Of course, I think in a lot of situations you do not allow immediate deploys to production, so you might first go to a staging environment, from staging to production. But what we do at GitHub basically is we just publish from the branch. So we deploy code from a branch straight into production. This is done mainly to have a very clean and simple workflow. We just wanted to have one master branch where we are absolutely sure that that is like a stable production branch. So we can always roll back to master. So we can always trust our master branch. Then we had the issue that, so github.com is quite a large website. So there's like 15 million people that are registered on GitHub. So there's a lot of people, there's over 3 million concurrent daily unique users on GitHub, collaborating on about like just 38 million projects. Out of that, like 20 million projects are active projects. So it's a large website. So it's hardly impossible to build like a staging environment that represents our production environment. So that's one of the reasons we simply decided to basically publish from a branch. So what will happen when you publish from the branch, it will merge in the latest stable production release and will publish the branch. Of course, our workflow requires extensive code review, so the features really, you know, from a functional perspective, is completely like matured. Sometimes we deploy first to lab environments or test environments to make sure that things are, you know, do not impact our environment. But sometimes it can happen. I mean, what developers do, they will jump into a monitoring environment and see if there's more exceptions happening, for example, if there is a performance decrease, and then they can always do this rollback to master. And we use a lot of feature flags, so that helps us also to kind of scale down. So often new features we might staff ship, for example, or we ship them to a limited number of users. And most of the time when the branch is published, it first goes into like a canary environment, so that like serves like maybe 5% of our users, to make sure that if there is something wrong, you know, that the impact is not significant. If you do a branch-based deploy, so for example, you can do so to Azure, for example, to a test environment, you can then also see that deploy in your pull request. And that's a nice feature, I think, because let's say you have some manual testing or UI testing that needs to be done by people. They can simply go into the pull request, they can click on the deployment, and they can go into that environment, start testing, and provide feedback in the pull request. So everything is in one single context, and I think that is what I really like about pull request. It's the conversation between people, it's CI, it's deploys if you are doing branch-based deploys, it's code review itself, it's all the commits, all the file changes. They're all in one context. Then one last thing I want to mention is that within GitHub we use ChatOps a lot. Is any one of you using ChatOps? One hand? Yeah, that's yours, yeah. So we use ChatOps to do a lot of things. So there's a few examples here. So we use Slack as an environment, but and we use Ubot as a chat robot. And Ubot has a lot of plugins with all sorts of chat clients, so not only Slack. But it allows me to ask, for example, so where can I deploy? So it gives you a list of environments where you can deploy to. Or, you know, graph me, like, how many deploys did we do the last week? You can see that we do a lot of deploys. I mean, we deploy to production over several hundreds of times every week. And then I can also deploy. So I can deploy my application through Slack. So basically, we brought most of our operations into the chat client. And the beauty of this is similar to how pull requests work. They bring a lot of transparency into your organization. Everyone can basically see this information, so it's public to everyone. So everyone can learn, can help out. If there's something wrong, people can jump in if they have the knowledge. They can just jump in and say, hey, boss, there's the command you're trying here is not working because you cannot deploy directly to a lab without having some sort of like security token, whatever. So it's visible to anyone. So this is our friend Ubot, by the way. So just to summarize, I think Visual Studio with GitHub and Azure, I think it allows you to build software in a very collaborative way. There's just like two contexts, as Visual Studio context, of course, as GitHub as a context, and then there's your deploys in Azure. and I think you can work in a very transparent way, and you can collaborate with your peers. And you can also, on GitHub, you can share your projects so people can discover your code. So there's also less need of kind of, you know, people tend to reuse code more than like writing the same code over and over again, because it's better to focus on one good product than, you know, several average. You can automate your deploys, of course. You can basically discover bugs earlier with CI, but also code review helps really to discover bugs early, because if different eyes look at the same code, people will come with different feedback. And that is really important. And then I think what we see a lot with customers is also less need of like status meetings, because all the information is on GitHub. Everything is done in writing. So anytime you want a status report or want to see, you know, how far are we with implementing this feature, you just go into the pull request, for example, to see what progress is made. So there's less of a need of kind of meetings, for example. Especially if you work in remote teams, everyone has access to the same platform. So even if you're in a different time zone, you can collaborate with your peers that are maybe on the other end of the planet. So, and this is the last thing I wanted to share. I like this tweet by Joe Duffy, so one of the directors of engineering within GitHub. He's yeah, of course we like it if people, you know, kind of are happy users or maybe, you know, even super fans of GitHub and can state that they're more productive. And also, I think what is really important, I mean, if you enjoy your work and enjoy the tools you're working with, I think you have a higher job satisfaction, so it's also more fun and you get more work done. And I think that is really important, right? I mean, we just want to go to work and you know, enjoy, have a good day. And I think having great tools to do so is very important. So the last thing I want to mention is, I just pasted it in very quickly, so it's not nicely formatted, but so we have a couple of, so right after this talk, there is a workshop, hands-on, so we will just, we do this together with Better Code Hub, it's a software improvement group, they're working on an integration with GitHub that is really nice, it focuses on reporting against your repo, based on like 10 best practices around code maintainability. Very practical tips that can really help developers to basically start improving their projects or maybe even other open source projects right away. So we're going to do four of these workshops. We have two today. So we start one right after this talk. Then we have one from 5 to 7. And then tomorrow we also have one talk in the morning and one early afternoon. So right after lunch at 1 o'clock. So if you want, come and join us to do some real coding and using Visual Studio and GitHub and then using the reporting from Better Code Hub, you're more than happy to join. I think there's 15 laptops, so you do not need to bring your own laptop. We have laptops. They're almost completely configured. The only thing you need to install is the extension that's not installed on the machines, but we'll do that. That takes only a few minutes. So if you want to join, more than happy. And thank you so much. If there are there any questions? Do we have time left? 3 minutes. Yeah. So is there an ideal lifetime for the branches? You mean in terms of time or? So how short? So what shall be like the, how long shall branches live? In terms of time, so shall they be open like for weeks or maybe? Of course, it depends on the size, but even if you're implementing a larger feature, I think you should break it up into multiple. So make small, you know, ship small parts of it, maybe using feature flags to hide it until you matured it. There's not really like an absolute time, but I think ideally, hopefully, maybe even a few days or a week. I think week to the most, maybe. I think, you know, of course, it really depends. I mean, if you have a small bug fix, one thing we recommend is to always use branch, you know, always create a branch, even if you're doing a small bug fix. So create a branch and always have someone look at your code. That really improves the code. So, but ideally, those small things should not take, you know, they might take even a few hours. But having a branch open for weeks, maybe some larger experimental feature you're working on, so that has no kind of immediate needs back into the code, but that then you know at some point in time you will run into merge conflicts and have to merge in once in a while, of course, but so it really depends, but yeah, as the shorter they live, the better it is, I think. Any other questions? Yeah. So when do you decide to merge a release branch back into master? You mean a feature branch or?
Like instead of where you're releasing from branches,
yeah.
You release your code into the wild, small sense of users perhaps. When are you satisfied or what are the, at what point do you decide to code this?
So are you talking about, you know, having a branch for the release or a branch for a feature that you implement? Because at GitHub, for example, we do not have like release branches. Well, I must say for GitHub Enterprise, we have some, and they will live until we do we no longer support that kind of generation, right? Ah, okay. Oh, sorry. Now I understand. So when you do branch-based deploys, when do you okay, so that goes really fast. It's a matter of, so the feature is already matured. You deploy it from the branch. It will merge in the latest master. Then you go into, it's more like, it's more like an integration of performance test. So you look into the environment, the production environment, whether there's a performance decrease or more exceptions or stuff like that. When you're satisfied with that result, and that will take like no longer than like maybe 15 minutes or something, you basically merge that feature into master, and then the next feature goes. Because if you deploy hundreds of time every week, you have a very high pace. So sometimes in a day, 50 deploys can be done through production, meaning that 50 of those features are merged back into master. Yeah, sorry for initially misunderstanding your question. Any other questions? Maybe one last then, because I need to head to the other room. It's right next door. We have the workshop. So we have room for 15 people. I don't know if we have more, then maybe people can come back either at 5 or tomorrow. Do you recommend?
Deleting the branches.
Yeah, always delete your branches. Yeah, absolutely. After merge, delete the branch. You will not lose any history, of course. The history will be there, but you should always delete the branches. So make sure that you keep your history kind of in that respect clean. Yeah. Okay.
Thank
you. Yeah, thanks for attending. Hoe is het?
Is lang geleden.
Ik denk die naam.
Die kom bekend voor. Ja. Kijk of ik dit ding uit.